ABC Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bales.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps, an incredible run scoring day in which the Australians made their way to 6 for 378 by Stumps in just 73 overs. The lead is 44. There's a whole lot to pick apart, but that final session, 150 runs scored for the loss of just 3 wickets. My name's Corbin Middlemass. This is Grandstand at Stumps. Darren Lehman and Jason Gillespie alongside me at the boundary's edge, but we can go straight inside the Australian camp to a man who batted beautifully today. Top scored with 72. His name is Jake Weatherald in just his third test innings. Jake, appreciate your time on ABC Sport and well batted.
Oh, thanks for that. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
How do you assess the day and your innings in particular?
Yeah, it's a good day, obviously. We obviously got a bit of lead now, but obviously disappointing not to make a few hundreds there. Obviously, that was a good chance for myself and most of the top order to do that, but everyone sort of chipped in, which is good. So if we can get a nice, solid lead here, it'd be great.
What's the wicket playing like, mate? You obviously started with the pink ball goes soft after, what, 10 or 15 overs, but looked like it played pretty well.
Yeah, it played well. The wicket had not many tricks in it. It's just a good day too, batting wicket, I think. The ball, did go a little bit soft. Made it a little bit hard with the short ball to sort of evade it. It felt like it was just sort of stopping in the wicket a little bit when it was... So, yeah.
You're right. And how much fun are you having out there? I mean, you look like you enjoyed it today. Lots of cut shots. They gave you a bit of width. You capitalised. You played your natural game. A couple of ramps over the keeper's head. That was good.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever done that, to be fair. But, it was good. A few cut shots, which is good. Sort of my natural habitat there. Be able to cut the ball. Obviously, too weak to hit it down the ground myself and too short. So, yeah, just cutting the ball was quite nice.
Jakey, what's the most challenging length on that surface to bat, particularly as an opening batter?
I think it's no different to most good cricket there. If you got to make sure that you're using the seam there early and getting up nice and full. Obviously, the reward for a batter is you get a few scoring options, but at the same time, I think you got to take the risk. And I think Starkey showed that in the first innings. He bowled really well.
Jake Weatherald with us, Grandstand at Stumps. Australia's 6 for 378 at close. Do you feel like you belong at the level? I mean, 72 today, and you batted beautifully in the second innings in Perth, but obviously you got a little unlucky with the edge onto your body and it ballooned up on the offside.
Yeah,
but did you have moments today where you thought, you know what, I got this?
I don't think you ever fully feel you belong anywhere, really, but I feel comfortable in my game. I'm just comfortable going there and trying to do what I can do with the bat. And if it comes off, it comes off. But, yeah, I feel like in a good space with what I'm doing technically and emotionally. So as long as that lasts, hopefully it can continue with runs.
We talked about it on air during the broadcast and the fact that you don't face what is affectionately known as the wanger a whole lot in the nets, basically the dog stick, which a lot of the modern players use. Why is that, and what advantage do you think it gives you by not necessarily doing what a lot of the modern players do and face balls in that fashion?
I think it's just experiences I've had. I've obviously been around quite a long time, have had experience, different conditions and what I can provide as through different systems, obviously with the Saka and Tassie. And I thought that best thing for me emotionally was to figure out ways I could bat against bowlers and stay in that present mindset and all that sort of stuff. So I've had to learn how to do that. And I think facing bowlers and throws sort of gets me in that right mindset.
Just one more. When you got out today, you're obviously hopping around. First of all, how's the foot?
Yeah, it is pretty sore, but I was trying to look as tough as I could walking off.
Because you turned and walked off straight away, and Marnus was running out after you.
It's just him, though, isn't it? It's just he wants to review everything. So I just sort of left it. I was like, I'm not losing some more reviewing this.
Good decision. What's it like for our listeners facing someone like Archer bowling? He comes on quite quick, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's a challenge because he can vary his pace quite a lot. And that full ball is just a lot quicker than some of the other balls, which is obviously what caught me in both the games so far. At the same time, it's just the amount of airspeed he can get just out of nowhere, really. It's quite amazing.
And how is it different? Obviously, Usman not playing, but batting with Travis Head, who you grew up with and played with, how's that?
It's awesome. He's so cool to be around, obviously. He takes so much pressure off you. He's a funny guy to be around. He obviously tries to score off every ball, takes so much pressure off you, and everyone's just sort of focused on him, which is sort of helps me out a lot.
Just one bonus question before you go. I know you got to run. We had your dad, Robbie, with us in Perth, and he spoke to us in the box, and we talked about the fact you were the first born and raised Territorian to represent Australia in Test cricket. There would be, I'm sure, lots of boys and girls tuned in on the ABC listening up in the Northern Territory. Does that mean something to you to have that little slice of history?
Yeah, it does, obviously. Coming from the Territory, growing up, I've watched this guy walk out the bat in the Territory before, and it's pretty cool to be around there, and obviously Dizzy as well. Those memories for me were the reason why I got into cricket. So it's a to be here with these guys as well and obviously talking to them is pretty cool, and it's a full circle moment for me. And yeah, it's pretty emotional for me to come back here.
Well done, mate. Enjoy, Rachel. Enjoy, and good luck tomorrow.
Keep going,
Jake.
Things.
Thanks, mate.
Jake Weatherald with us, the opening batsman for Australia on the back of his 72 today, well, and a few hugs and a dap up with his old coach in Jason Gillespie, who's with us on Grandstand at Stumps. Corbin Middlemass alongside Darren Lehman and Jason Gillespie, just repeating the Stump score, 6 for 378. The Australian score at close. So end of day two of the second test at the Gabba. Lead is 44, only 73 overs and 378 on the board. Mick Nisa is 15 not out. Alex Carey is 46 unbeaten. He was dropped twice. But the session-by-session breakdown, Boof, which I know you're keen to examine. So 2 for 139 in the first session off essentially 24 overs. There was, you can add two given the change of innings, makes it 26. 2 for 98 in the second session, 23 overs. And then in 29 overs in that last session, 3 for 150. Test match cricket, and in the end, the day comes to a close with, just shy of 400 runs scored.
Well, the game's changed, hasn't it? And also has changed, because Jake said, I used to walk out, I used to waddle out. You know, it was a pretty impressive 72 from a young kid in his second game, wasn't it? He spoke beautifully well. We spoke about him on air. But I tell you what, it was just an amazing day of cricket again. You think about it, I think Australia, you know, when they batted, they got in the right position where they're batting during the daytime. They play well. Head and Weatherall were unbelievable. And then they, you know, Smith and Marnus went about their work. And then all of a sudden, the two wickets in the over changed it. But then all of a sudden, Australia kept going and going. They didn't worry about it. 3 for 150, as you said, last session, off, 26 overs. That's an amazing session from a cricket point of view. Now they're 44 in front, I think, which is not a bad lead leading into what is a really important session next session, because it's daytime. They need to bat 2 hours. If they bat 2 hours and get a lead of 120, for example, it's real trouble for England, because they're going to bowl with a new ball under lights.
So, I mean, it changes the way they've gone about it. I mean, they've been... It's not as if Australia's been doing anything out of the box. They've benefited from the way England have bowled at them. But, like you said, tomorrow becomes more about batting time to be able to get through and maximise when they get that new ball and the conditions to their advantage.
Well, judging from... If they bat 20 overs, as Buff said, or maybe bat till the first break...
What is the first break? Dinner, lunch, or what?
Let's just call it lunch.
Thank you.
The end of the first session.
End of the first session. Yep. There'll be between 20, 25 overs bowled. If Australia do bat that, they're scoring 5.18 in this innings so far. You'd assume they continue in the same vein. They're going to have a lead well in excess of what you said, 120 lead. And I think that's going to be hard to come back from for England. We know how they're going to come out and bat, Corby, don't we? So, Australia will have the benefit of a new ball under lights.
When you think about the way England bowled in the second innings in Perth, and Travis Head was able to race to that blazing 100, I think that only lasted less than 30 overs, and the Aussies made 200 in that time, and Head, obviously, the lion's share of those. And then the way they bowled here today, it's starting to look like the outlier was actually what they did on day one of the Perth test, where they bowled sensationally.
Well, bowled properly.
Yeah. So what's changed? What's happened since then with this England bowling unit?
I think there's a bit of overthinking. I think there's a lot of impatience. And I don't know if it's a modern game. I don't know if it's coach-led, captain-led, or led by the bowlers to go to these short ball plans. It's almost as if they don't trust themselves to bowl discipline, line and length. Because we've seen in both these surfaces, if you do bowl discipline, line and length, there is enough there for you to create opportunities to take wickets. But it just seems that the impatience, and I'm not just saying England with the ball impatience, I think Australia have been a bit impatient too with their bowling plans. It's as if we don't get a wicket for 3 or 4 overs, Boof, then we've got to do something different. We've got to change.
They change too quickly. Top off, and it's hard to score. And at stages there, when Stokes was doing it, it actually looked quite good. I mean, they just got length wrong a lot today, and Australia did last night when Archer and Root were going at them. So you've got to be really patient at times and actually just be prepared to making sure you've been a little bit boring. Especially the funny thing with England's bowling, that new ball, they bowled too short. They bowl way too short. They've obviously got plans for each batter and they're going to stick to them. But sometimes, you know what? the cricket ball can swing and nip a little bit with a new ball, and they're not allowing it to do that. Where Australia actually pitched the ball up with Nesta and Stark, haven't they? Got early wickets.
Those numbers were incredible. 5% of balls hitting the stumps late in the day. So, and as Rick pointed out, that's one in every in 20 balls, basically. So you could go three overs, statistically, without England bowling a ball that would hit the stumps.
That's right. And then one of our listeners actually texted in to say that 50% of the dismissals have been bowled LBW.
Amazing. So the story of the day, we'll take you through it in chronological order, and we'll fill in some gaps on the way through and some interesting debate points and talking points you might be having around the water cooler. So last wicket to fall was Jofra Archer. Superb catch from Manus Labuschagne in the outfield off the bowling to Brendan Doggett. So Archer out for his highest scoring test cricket, out for 38. 334 all out England, and Joe Root with some red ink, so 138 unbeaten. Stark didn't add to his six wickets, but gee, he was superb. 20 overs, 6 for 75. And then the opening pair of Weatherald and Head. Head got a miscued a shot up into the air off the top edge, out for 33. Caught Atkinson, bowled Cass. But the openers put on 77 together. Is this our new opening pair going forward, Travis Head and Jake Weatherald? Have you seen enough to suggest that this combination will take the Aussies forward?
Well, I like it because England haven't bowled how they should bowl. Like they bowled in the first innings of Perth. They totally changed the way they wanted to bowl. So I like it, the positive attitude of it. I think. And Head's played like an opener. He hasn't gone out blazing. He's,
absolutely.
What was he, 3 off 24 balls at one stage today because they bowled tight and didn't give him much room. And then when he got room and got in, he went whack, 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 and away he went. And it was really Jake Weatherall taking him on today and getting Australia off to a fly. But 77, you're taking that against this attack all the time.
Weatherall then had a partner in Manus Labuschagne. First three wickets all yielded 50-plus run stands. So it's been a little while since Australia have done that. You have to go back to Boxing Day almost 12 months ago. Weatherall out for 72. Gee, looked well organised. And then Archer, for the second time in the series, got him out LBW. This time hit him on the toe. And as he told us a short time ago, he wasn't even going to bother to review that. He turned and walked off with Manus running out after him. But Weatherall out for 72.
Yeah, I thought Weatherall played very nice. It was a good, great delivery from Jofra Archer. No question. And yeah, he was right to not even bother reviewing it. I think he was hitting the middle stump, to be honest. But I thought, Wolf alluded to it, he played the short ball very well, Jake Weatherald. I mean, he played those uppercuts. Any width, he climbed into it. I mean, he's a strong player. Anyone domestically who's played against Jake Weatherald knows that he's a strong player square of the wicket. He's made a lot of runs up here in Queensland. He's made a lot of runs whenever he's gone playing for South Australia or Tasmania against Western Australia on the fast bouncy whacker. So you would have thought that England would have done their homework in their preparation for this series and know that Jake Weatherald's playing, and that's there his strength. So they've continually bowled to his strengths, which has been a surprise. Yeah.
And then Labuschagne out just before tee for 65. He was trying to cut a ball, was a little too close to him off the bowling of Stokes, nicking behind, so out for 65. But look, the goods up until that point. He also faced 78 balls, the same as Weatherald. Now, in the final session, which was a chaotic one in the end, 150 runs scored in the space of 29 overs, really all happened in one over from Brighton Cass, where he was able to remove Steve Smith for 61. Before that, it was Cam Green for 45. Green, bizarrely, sort of backing away, almost at his heels on the toes of the square leg umpire as Cass bowled a full ball at middle stump, rock and rolled him for 45. And then three balls later, Steve Smith played a pull shot. There was a leg side trap set up. There was five back on the leg side, and Smith hit it about a metre wide of Will Jacks, who took a superb catch diving out to his right. And all of a sudden, it felt like England saw a little opening after they hadn't bowled well, Boof. They were back in the game at that point.
Yeah, well, two of the best catches you'll see in outfield, Labuschagne and Will Jacks today. That was unbelievable, one-handed catch, and got him back into the game.
Go on, pub debate, which one was better?
Jacks. Miles better, yeah. Okay. Miles better as well. That's how big both great catches.
Correct.
But from Battiput Green, a little bit disappointed because he went too far. I understand what he's trying to do and they're bowling short, but now they're going to, well, just mix it up a bit. Bowl a Yorker off stump.
Yep.
If you hit it, they've gone too far. And he went too far today. But I liked his intent. What he should have done is just not gone so far. He went off the pitch almost. It was just too wide. And then Smith should have hit his. He should have gone over Jacks. He tried to place it. But he looked good. They both looked very good today.
Just on Smith's dismissal, and we've seen a lot of bouncer plans in this series so far. It feels like almost batters from both sides get caught up in the emotion of it all, and look, even with field out, just look to try and score off these deliveries. can they just let them go, Boof, and just sort of just duck and just ride some and just...
I think with the pink ball, some have been getting up and some haven't. That's the problem. Right. So a bit like Adelaide used to play where you're not sure whether to duck or not, but you've got to be able to make sure you're riding and hitting it for one where you possibly can. But they're trying to outsmart themselves a little bit. You can actually duck and sway and get out of the road a bit. We haven't done that enough. I think both sides have been like that.
And the reason I say that, Boof, is because being the fast bowler in me, it's hard work to bowl bounces consistently for a period of time. You only bowl two or three overs of it and you're pretty cooked.
Well, they look cooked as they came off. Yeah. I mean, what they bowl, they still only bowled 73 overs. They've got seven before the new ball tomorrow.
It was real warm today, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Archer's bowled, 20? Stokes and Carr, 17 each. Yeah, Atkinson would be very similar. Yeah. The four bowlers have done all the work. Jax hasn't bowled a ball, basically. They bowled one over.
Bowled one over, yeah.
Inglis was the last man out. He got one that nipped back in towards him off the bowling of Ben Stokes. So he was out for 23 bowled. So they're the six players dismissed today. The not-out bats overnight. Mick Nisa is there on 15 and Alex Carey is on 46. The Australians just repeating at stumps on day two. 6 for 378. They lead the test by 44. The other thing to call out was England's fielding.
Oh, so, yes, I was just about to say.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drop catches.
And a couple of those they should have taken. Ben Duckett, the one at cover off Carr. You know, Carr should have called that off Archer. That was Nessa. Yeah,
he should have taken that one off Carey, first ball.
Yeah,
Ben Duckett.
Yeah, that's right. So there's been a few, and you know, Carey's 46. So the old analogy, as our great mate Barry Nugget Reese would say, what would he say, Diz?
Catches win matches.
Yeah,
much.
It's a great adage. 5 drop catches. Head was dropped on 3. Inglis on 21. Only cost them 2. Carey dropped twice on naught and on 25. And then even Michael Nisa late in the piece dropped on 6. So that is the story of the day. I asked you late in the piece, Diz, the way that the test is panning out, does it guarantee that we'll be here on Sunday on day 4?
Yes.
Still?
Yeah, I'm still confident in that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm confident definitely day 4, could be even day 5, but it just depends on tomorrow morning's 2 hours of batting from Australia. If they get 2 hours, if they get more than that, look out.
The man who really highlighted the opening day of this test match was Joe Root, who got his breakthrough 100 here in these parts. Henry Moran from the BBC is with him now.
Well, Joe, how would you sum up that day?
Well, I think the game's very much in the balance still. I mean, it's... I think it would be wrong to say that we were at our best throughout the whole day. Clearly put some good work together, especially late on yesterday, and keen to build on that partnership with Joff, and took a moment of brilliance really to end it. And we didn't quite get it right to start with, but I think the most important thing for us to look at is the way that we responded after that last break, and that cluster of wickets that we produced and managed to wrestle things when clearly the momentum with Australia, the way that we managed to wrest that back in our favour towards the back end of the day, is an important thing for the rest of this game. So, you know, I don't think that's a massive gap at the minute, and if we get things right in the morning, then clearly we've got a huge amount of talent and ability in that dressing room to get a good score, which could be a very tricky wicket to bat last on with the way it looks like it could crack up and be a little bit dicey towards the back end of the game.
What didn't England get right today? I mean, the catches would be the obvious, but in terms of plans and execution?
I don't think we want to dwell on that too much, to be honest. I think more importantly, it's looking at how we can affect the game moving forward. So I think that's going to be the most important thing, is how we look at tomorrow and how we respond, and making sure that we turn up with a good attitude and understanding that our best cricket, and when we deliver, that, you know, we're always going to put ourselves in a position where we can go and win games. So I think more than, you know, getting too down on things that we didn't quite get right today, we look at tomorrow and how we can you know, turn the tide in a way and restrict them to as few runs as possible, and then go and apply some pressure with the bat.
You've been out there pretty much the entire game. How is that surface?
Yeah, look, I think there's the opportunity to score runs on it, and you know, I think as the game progresses, there'll be a little bit more on offer for the bowlers. I think yesterday was a little bit of a tennis ball bounce. It almost felt like every now and again it would just stay in that wicket a little bit longer and rise on you a little bit. So it seems to have quickened up today slightly, and probably come on a little bit better and more consistently, so batting may have been slightly easier, and that's it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds throughout the rest of the game. And as you can see from any of the overhead shots, there are quite a few plates on that surface, so that the more heat and sun that gets on that wicket, the more those cracks will start to separate, and we might see some variable bounce or lateral movement from that. So now it's hopefully we can exploit that in the right way. We can utilize the surface getting better to bat on it at certain points, and you know, when we get the chance to bowl, can we find those cracks and make things happen.
Do you have in your mind what you need to limit Australia to in terms of a lead?
No, I think most importantly, we turn up and we think clearly how we're going to get the best out of ourselves individually, how we can bowl in those partnerships, which is going to create wickets. And I think it's very easy sometimes to overcomplicate the game. You know, I think we keep it nice and simple. If we do that, then I think you know, we're going to ask good questions and we'll create chances.
Now, the last 24 hours for you have been a celebration of a milestone you've been waiting a long time to achieve. How do you feel in light of it 24 hours on?
Yeah, I mean, I think as with anything, you're going to reflect at the end of the game. You know, there's a huge amount of work still to be done within this test match. And I think more than anything, it was just great to build a couple of really strong partnerships and get us in position from being 5 for 2. And there, that partnership with Zach, I think he played incredibly well, to be honest. You know, saw him pretty much at his best, and what we know he can do, and why I think he's going to be so successful out here in these conditions. Really, I think his game set up nicely for it, and he exploited that yesterday. I also think you know, there are another couple of really exciting cameos and contributions that will hold us, you know, will give the guys confidence for later on in this game and throughout the series. And then obviously Jofra at the end, I thought he was magnificent. For him to come out and play that way was exceptional. And you know, just trying to, you're trying to do all the time out there is make sure that you're in sync with the guy at the other end. You're working together and you're making it difficult for the opposition to break you down as a pair.
And just finally, there was a lot of talk about getting the 100 in Australia. Zach Crawley told me last night it wasn't something you were really talking about or seemed to be thinking about too much as a burden. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, my job isn't, it's not about me. I think I've said it quite a few times coming into this tour. This tour is not about me scoring hundreds in Australia. It's about us trying to win the Ashes. My job is to score runs and to contribute as much as I can, in, obviously in the field and with bat in hand. And if I'm doing that then and consistently, it's given us a far better chance as someone in that middle order. So I'll go out with the same approach, the same attitude tomorrow when it is I get that opportunity. And now hopefully I can back it with another big contribution that sets us up and gives us a really good chance of winning a test match out here in Australia.
Well, many congratulations, Joe. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks to Henry Moran and Joe Root, of course, from the English cricket team. What is he, Boof?
Proper great.
He's a proper great.
I mean, and people are going to talk about it, but he's you're going to have Bradman, yes, and then you're going to have, you know, Root and Smith if they play another 2 or 3 years. And Root looks fit enough to play 3 years. Smith, it depends on what he wants to do. And, you know, those two guys their records are going to get ridiculous.
Great to hear from Joe Root, and thanks to Henry Moran and our colleagues at the BBC. We are on air from 2:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time, but really we're on air from 12 noon. So Summer Grandstand is coming to you live from the Gabba tomorrow. So Quentin Hull will be holding it down from 12 noon, Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be all the build-up towards day 3 of the second test here at the Gabba. Our official coverage will start at 2:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time, and then the first ball from 3 p.m. Just some headlines before we go. Josh Hazlewood, Achilles soreness. So that's a setback coming back from a hamstring injury.
Ooh, you know all about that, Buffer. Achilles soreness.
Yeah, but
you?
I wasn't 6'5" and bowled 140 rockets. That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
So he's not even going to be back running or bowling until next week.
Oh, wow.
I think so. The Adelaide test is out, and all of a sudden the timelines get a little shorter for Melbourne and Sydney. Around the domestic scene today, so there was a tour game at Allan Border Field between the English Lions and Australia A. Aussie A well on top, and Jai Richardson 4 for 35. So good news for the Aussies.
Great news for Australia.
Coming back from injury. In the Sheffield Shield, Sam Constis really highlighted the day with 100, so 116.
That is good. Good for him. Well done, Sam. Mm.
And really, this is a story which will grab headlines everywhere. WBBL match abandoned. Ball stuck under roller, rolled into the pitch.
That's Karen Rolton Oval. That is incredible. It was a stray throw, and the ball rolled under the roller.
And that's then the incredible roller went over the top of it, and the ball got stuck in the pitch. That's a real story. That happened in a professional cricket game tonight in Adelaide.
Just putty it up and move on. Correct. Don't worry play about on. It. Just get the game moving on.
Play around it.
What about three runs another, to win the other night?
We'll add another variable. Yeah, it hasn't been. Crazy. It's not a great moment in the WBBL season, but that match abandoned halfway through earlier tonight between the Strikers and the Hurricanes. All right, that's us done. Safe travels, gentlemen. I will see you back here tomorrow. Our coverage from 2:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Chuck it on from 12 noon Eastern Daylight for Summer Grandstand. We'll catch you then on Grandstand Cricket.